Let's look to the Lord in prayer once again, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day. It's been a special day around here. We had our special Christmas theme this morning in so many ways. And even as our message this evening still continues with the passages that we associate with the Christmas theme, speak to our hearts. And as this week we actually celebrate the day set aside to remember the day, Lord, that you entered into our world, however we share it, I pray that you would be the center of our activities, that you might get the glory. We might not forget you, but we would keep you foremost in all that we think, say, and do. I pray now you'd speak to our hearts one of these passages of Scripture that sometimes we look at it and we see how easily we could fit in some of the things that are there. And may your will be done in our hearts and lives. In your name we pray and thank you. Amen. Well, take your Bibles and turn tonight to Matthew chapter 2. If you want a title for this one, Andrew, we're going to call this one, They Should Have Known. They Should Have Known. As we look at this, let's look at the first six verses of Matthew 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. As we look at this, I want us to just consider this whole story, and we know the events of this. Obviously, Matthew chapter 2 is not the same setting as Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, which we heard quoted this morning, is when the shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks by night. And suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared and spoke unto them and told them, Go into town and you will find this special babe. And here's a sign, you will find him in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And that's not what we see in Matthew chapter 2. This is not the story of the shepherds, but it's the story of the wise men. We don't know how many there were. it's assumed that there were three because of what? The three gifts. Were there more than three, less than three? It's not important. The importance is that there were men who knew the times and they were studying the stars and the signs, not astrology, right? That's not the good stuff, but astronomy. And there's wonderful study, genuine study of the stars. To me, this has always been a mystery. How is it that those men from the east, how far east? I don't know. Was it as far as China? Who knows? But we have seen his star and are come to worship him. And somehow they knew from the study of the stars that the King of the Jews had been born. Does that kind of raise some interest in your thinking? I think, how is it that those men, and they followed the star as it led them to what we refer to the Holy Land, and here in Jerusalem, where now Joseph and Mary and the baby, they're not there in Bethlehem in some stable, but as we see a few verses later, they're in a house in Jerusalem. The interesting thing that I see about this is the answer that the chief priests and the scribes gave to Herod when he asked them, "Can you tell me where the King of the Jews is to be born?" As we think about this, we look at the scribes, the chief priests and the scribes. Now, who were they? Were they politicians? Were they businessmen? Who were chief priests and scribes? In what realm did they operate? It wasn't business, it was what? Religion and the study of the Old Testament scriptures. That was their work. And that was their area of expertise. The Jews treasured the Old Testament scriptures. At this time, the Jews were looking for and waiting for who to appear? Their Messiah / King. Now, he had come, and so few recognized him, but he had come. And it is not the fact that the whole Jewish nation couldn't care less about it. Their eyes were blinded to it, weren't they? Their eyes were blinded to it. But they knew what the scripture said. And so we see here the chief priests and the scribes, they were accurate in identifying the place of his birth, because the king, Herod, this Roman king. He was all bent out of shape. A reigning king and news of another king equals what? Trouble. That's just not welcome news. And Herod, who was the king at that time, all of a sudden he got wind that there are some men who have traveled to Jerusalem from way out east, and they're asking, where is he that is born the King of the Jews? We saw his star, and we want to worship him. And so Herod, was he a religious man? Was religion his expertise? No. If we're going to find out something about the Jews and their king, you would want to know some answer from someone who is familiar with Jewish history, Jewish religion. And so it was only practical, it was the reasonable thing for Herod to summon the chief priests and the scribes, the religious experts, to come. And he said, where? Where is Christ going to be born? Christ. It's interesting that Matthew records here that the wise men, they came and they asked, where is he that is born the King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and we've come to worship him. But when Herod asked the chief priests and the scribes, he did not ask them where the King of the Jews is going to be born, but what word did he use here, according to Matthew's rendition? The Christ, the anointed of God, the promised one. Where is he to be born? Interestingly enough, the experts did not say, you know, Herod, that's a good question. You know, that's something people have been questioning and wondering for quite some time. You got a good question there. We wish we knew what to tell you. But that just kind of stumps us. What was their response? It wasn't, we're not really sure. It's as if it required no thought at all. These men, experts in the Old Testament scriptures, knowing where he would appear, where the promised one would appear, the answer was, well, it's in Bethlehem of Judea. The prophet wrote about that. What prophet? Micah. That's the prophet that they were quoting. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, we read, "But thou Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." And then, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, or from eternity. There's a lot in that Micah portion. And we see here they knew the place, but they overlooked some important truth, which makes me ask, how could they just sit there knowing what they knew? Now, let's take a look at what they reported and what they overlooked. They reported the place in answer to the king's question here in Matthew chapter 2. He's going to be born in Bethlehem, verses 5 and 6. We see what they said, but we just read Micah 5:2 a moment ago, and we discover the astounding revelation by the prophet. And the revelation was that the coming ruler who would appear in Bethlehem was none other than the pre-existent God, whose goings forth have been from what? It said it was from old, from everlasting. This one who is going to appear is going to be none other than the eternal God. In Psalm 90, verse 2, we read these words. It says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. If you were with us this morning in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, in that prophecy, in that prediction, we saw not only that his coming was going to be miraculous, this coming one, but it would be mysterious, because in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we saw this morning that it identified the coming Savior as the one that they will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. As we look at this in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We didn't look there this morning. But here the prophet said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. What? The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This coming child was to be God, the eternal God, the Everlasting Father. You say, well, how do you know the scribes knew all of this? You're kind of unfair in what you're saying about them, Pastor. I believe the scribes had to know this because of their continual exposure to the Scripture. the scribes, the chief priests. That was their occupation. Searching the manuscripts, studying, researching, comparing this manuscript with that manuscript. They had to know. But it seems when we look at this Matthew chapter 2 portion, those who were most familiar with the truth were the ones who were least impressed with it. It reminds me of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, where Paul makes reference to individuals and it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's your scribes and your chief priests. Ever learning, always studying. Oh, they knew where he would be born. They knew who he would be. But what impression did it make on these scribes and these chief priests? In contrast, we think about the shepherds and how they responded with the news. In Luke 2:15, it tells us this. It says, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said unto one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What does that mean in modern day terms? When they saw it, they did what? They told everybody. They were so excited with what they had been shown, what they had been told, what they knew, and what they had confirmed with their own eyes and were now convinced of it. They made known abroad all of this, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds, but Mary kept all these things. She pondered them in her heart. She thought deeply about them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. As we think about how the shepherds responded when they got news about the birth of the Lord, contrast that with the chief priests and the scribes in Matthew 2. Do you find the chief priests and the scribes excitedly sharing with everybody in the city of Jerusalem the news? Where is he to be born? Well, he's to be born in Bethlehem. That's what it says, what the prophet said. That's where he was supposed to appear. As we think of this, we think of the wise men who had traveled from afar. because they believed a star was pointing to a newborn king who was worthy of worship. In contrast, these chief priests and scribes, why didn't they mention to King Herod, hey, by the way, not only is he going to be born, was he born in Bethlehem, but you want to know who the King of the Jews is going to be? He is, it says in the prophet, he's going to be the eternal God. That's who these men are looking for. Why didn't they say anything? Why didn't they rush to the scene? Were they trying to ignore the truth? Like in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, where it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse. When they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, and they weren't thankful. Is this what they were doing? Were they trying to ignore the truth? Or this is what causes me to do some heart searching. Not that I try to deny it so much, but could it be that this news isn't so exciting for us anymore because we are so familiar with the story? We are so accustomed to it that we have lost sight of how precious the truth really is. We talked this morning. Suppose there's someone who's never heard it before. What would you tell them? Oh, there's great truths to tell. We know those truths. How excited do we get to spread that news? How faithful are we? And I thought about this could be a great danger for us, a potential danger for us. We've had so much church exposure, some of us from the cradle. We've grown up, we've heard it our whole lives, and there isn't anything to the story we don't know, we haven't heard. We're familiar with it, we hear it, we sing it, we read it, we quote it, we say it, but how much does it stir our hearts? The shepherds, they said, let's go see what the angel said. And when they found it, they went through town telling everybody and everybody in Jerusalem. That night, that day, everybody in Jerusalem was talking about what the shepherds had said. How many people were talking in Jerusalem? How many people were talking there when the chief priests and the scribes gave their answer? Oh yeah, the prophet Micah, he said it would be in Bethlehem. That's where it says he was going to be born. If anybody knows, we should know if anybody should be an example of getting out the news, it should be us. But where are we? How faithful are we? Has it lost its meaning to us? Are we excited, on the edge, anxious to share it? Or are we like those chief priests and scribes? Oh, we know about it, but I used to get excited about it, but you know, I don't get too excited about it anymore. I mean, I've known it my whole life. I've heard it the whole. May God help us not to become so familiar that it loses its significance in our life, in our testimony, in our energy, and in our efforts. This story never grows old. And the relevance, instant, today, tomorrow, forever. May God help us take these things to heart. Let's stand as we are dismissed with prayer. Father, we, in one breath, kind of criticize these chief priests and scribes because they knew so much, but they told so little. But we have to ask ourselves that same question. How much are we telling to those around us? I pray that we would ponder this portion, an old familiar portion of Scripture, but may it have a new meaning and significance to us. Dismiss us with your blessing on us as we go our way. Take each one safely home. And I pray this week as we together with loved ones, family, friends, celebrate the reality of the birth of your Son. May we grow in grace and in the knowledge of you. And may we truly worship you and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who came. In your name we pray. Amen.